You guys know I like to pray, so let's do it again. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. The beautiful day though that it was, just very nice out, sunny. Lord, I thank you for the safety that you've given this week, even if there have been maybe little injuries here and there, and I don't know at all, but Lord, I hope that these ranchers have been blessed this week, that they've learned some new things, that they've grown closer in their walk with you and grown closer to their friends. Lord, I ask that you bless tonight. I pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Okay, so the last couple of nights, we have talked about following Jesus. It's the theme of the week. So the first night, we talked about why. Why to follow. And can someone kind of give me what were some of the reasons we talked about there? Why? Yes, sir. It's true. We need a Savior. And that's it. Jesus has died to pay the penalty for our sin. We're sinful. We can't be in the presence of God without the gift that Jesus offers. And that is the motive behind why we should follow Jesus. The disciples followed him because they recognized that he was the Messiah, that he had come to save. And it is out of love and gratitude that we should say, yes, I want to follow you. So last night, though, we talked a little bit about what happens when we don't follow, right? Peter denied Christ. But did that disqualify Peter from being a Christian? No. What did Jesus do? Sorry, go ahead. Right, he asked him if he still loved him 3 times. Why 3 times? Because he had denied him 3 times. And Jesus was showing him. Jesus was bringing that back to his memory and saying, Peter, that's all right. I forgive you. Feed my sheep, which means go, share the gospel, and make disciples. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But, so we've talked about some of the whys, and we've talked about that when we don't follow Jesus perfectly, that's okay. As long as if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There is nothing that once we're adopted that can keep us from being children of God. That doesn't mean we go out and free reign, sin all we want, do whatever we want. No. If you're really a child of God, you're not going to want to do those things. Right? Because we recognize what Jesus did for us. And that doesn't mean we understand it perfectly every day. This is something we have to think on and meditate and read. And one of my, a preacher that I really respect, he just died recently. His name was Jerry Bridges. He used to say all the time, preach the gospel to yourself. He was in his 80s. He's like, and I do this all the time. He's like, I need the gospel. And he's been preaching for, I don't know how many years of his life, most of it, many, many years. He's like, preach the gospel to yourself. The most basic message of Christianity. So today, I want to help you guys do this. I want to help you guys know how to follow. So it might seem like some really basic stuff that you might hear all the time. But it's really important. There's a reason you hear it all the time. A lot of people, they want to do this. Like Christians, we all, if we really are saved, and sometimes even if we are saved, we struggle with this, but I want to follow God, and I'm just not doing it. I don't know his will for my life. I don't know what he wants me to do with my life. You know, some of you are in junior high school. You don't know what you're going to do, what you're going to go to college for, or go and work. And when people say that, a lot of times they mean, I don't know what occupation I'm going to have or where I'm going to live or the details of life. Not to trivialize them or, you know, make them not important. The details are important, where you're going to live, what you're going to do. But that's typically what people mean by that. So, and that's things we need to think about. Those are things we need to seek the Lord in. But take comfort in this. You always know at least part of God's will for your life. And this part that you do know, and I'll show you right now, you all know at least part of God's will for your life right now. That's what's going to lead to the details being cleared up. I never thought I'd be working as an executive team leader with Target right now. So I work retail. You know, I sell things. I'm the overnight logistics executive, and I oversee the trucks that come in, and I have about 100 and some odd people that I'm directly over. You know, it's busy. Nothing I really thought I'd be doing. But it's currently where God has me. It's currently where He wants me to be. And I'm okay with that. I don't particularly care for retail, but I don't, you know, I'm not like living in misery or anything, because I know that this is where God wants me to be. And you know what? It may change. Let's not think that there's going to be this one perfect job that God has for us. We're always going to be a teacher and forever a teacher. God has blessed me with so many different experiences. I've been an audiovisual technician. I've been a dump truck driver. I've worked in construction. I've worked with horses. I've worked in retail. I've gotten to do a lot of fun stuff. But I've moved around. I've lived in, five different states. I mean, this is just how God has led me. That doesn't mean it'll be the same for everybody. I would caution you against getting this idea that there's one thing, one place that you're going to live and do. Follow where God leads. So here's the thing that you all know. You all know that it's God's will for you to read your Bible. Okay, so point one that we're going to talk about is know who you're following and how to follow. So in Psalm 19, 7 through 11, go ahead and listen. The law of the Lord, Scripture, is perfect, and it revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. This is the Bible we're talking about. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We read the Bible to know about God. We read the Bible to know what God's asked us to do. God hasn't said, follow me, and then left. He said, follow me, and He gave us His word to show us how, to know how. So part of knowing who you're following and how to follow, under that is read your Bible. Seems pretty basic, right? Simple. You've heard that probably many, 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 many times. Well, it's really, 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 really important, because this is the book through that we claim to believe, right? This is the book that I claim to believe. And if I haven't read it that much, do I really, you know, that's cause for question as to whether I really believe it. If I'm witnessing to an atheist and they ask me, well, do you even read your Bible that much? And I say, well, you know, occasionally. They're not going to take me seriously, because I don't take God seriously at that point. Now, again, don't be discouraged. I struggle just as much as the next person to make a regular habit out of it. Satan doesn't want us reading the Bible. He will do anything he can to distract us and
you know, make it seem boring or just more fun things to do, or just maybe we'll be get real busy and just not do it. I've got a lot of homework. We've got to fight that. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it revives the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Gold's really expensive. You know, that's why they got all that security at Fort Knox. Can't, you know, they don't like you. They just don't like visitors for some reason. I don't know. Holy Scripture does not consist of individual passages. It's a unit and intended to be used as such. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that. I don't know if you guys know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is. If you don't, Google him when you get home. He's a really neat guy to study. But what does he mean by that? Holy Scripture does not consist of individual passages. It's a unit and intended to be used as such. Meditate on what you're reading. That's what he's saying. Let me read this. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, Scripture. And on his law, he meditates day and night. I had a friend of mine who used to be into a lot of New Age stuff, a lot of Eastern mysticism, things like that. And he described what the difference between Christian meditating and Eastern meditating really well. You guys know, what do you think of when you think of meditating? Yeah, the hold the finger thing and the people, you know, floating around, you know. That's what we think of, right? That's what we think of when we think meditating, maybe a little Zen garden thing. I don't know. That kind of meditating is about emptying your mind. And that's not what we want to be doing as Christians. As Christians, we want to be filling our minds. We want to be filling our minds with the Word, with what God has told us. And this is what David, who wrote this psalm, is saying. Like, I meditate on your law. I think about it, and I want to know what you're saying. Psalm 119, 10 through 11 says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." What does David say meditating on Scripture does? Shout it out. What did he just say? It makes strong your heart. Do what?
It makes strong your heart.
It does make strong your heart. So that you don't sin. So that we can please God. But how does he describe it? It's not just memorizing rules. It's not just memorizing do's and don'ts. What does he say about it? He says, with my whole heart. You don't seek after something you don't like with your whole heart. Nobody's going around memorizing the rules at the pool because they're so excited about the pool rules. If you did, we should probably have a talk because that's weird. This is not what you do. David was like, I love the Scripture. I love your word. I seek after it with my whole heart because I don't want to sin against you, God. David knew that God was his salvation, that only in God could he be saved. He said, I don't want to sin against you. I want to study your word with my whole heart. So all that to say, we should make sure that we're not just reading small portions. For how can we get the whole picture of the Bible if we're only reading little segments? But we also need to meditate and study and memorize and really think about what this means and what I need and what it's requiring of me, what I'm supposed to do with it. So, when you're reading, read a lot and read a little. Or read a little and read a lot. Do both. You don't have to have a set amount every day. It's good. That helps build the habit. There's a lot of different techniques. And by that I mean methods, to help you build the discipline. And everybody's different. Some people, you know, maybe they have to do it at the same time every day, otherwise they'll just not do it. Some people, maybe it's just, well, I just need a set number of passages I can read each day. You know, there's different ways. There's not the perfect way. Regardless, we do need to be reading it, though. It's so important. So maybe one day you decide to just focus on one passage. Maybe you decide to focus on Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. What does that mean? If I think about that, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Well, part of that could mean that I don't want to be taking advice from wicked people. I don't want to be associating with people who are always wicked. And the Bible says I'll be blessed for that. You know, just thinking about this. Okay, so reading your Bible and meditating. What do you think the third thing is? Yes, sir.
Prayer.
Exactly. Prayer. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So why do we pray? Why do you think we pray? Why should we pray? Talk to God? Where do you say that? Ask God for forgiveness. That's a beautiful thing we can do. God says, I know you've sinned. You can ask my forgiveness and I will always forgive you. Yes, sir. To get closer to God. Yeah, we can talk with him. Could you get to know someone if you never talked to them? Like, maybe, but it'd be really, 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 really hard. You know, if you can't talk it off, if you totally ignore someone, that's a better example. If you totally ignore someone, are you going to get to know them? No, of course not. You got to talk with them. Yes, sir. To help each other. That's true. Do you pray for people you love or people you know? Or maybe your country? Or, yeah, we can pray to help each other. That's good. So what's the passage say? We pray as a means of worship. We have such a unique privilege to be able to talk to our God. So we worship with prayer. We make requests. What does it say? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God says, I want to hear them. God, who created the universe, is so personal that he wants to know every single one of your requests. He says, let me know. I care about you. I want to commune with you. I want to hear you. That's amazing. And he's all powerful. He can hear all of us, which is really cool. You can be praying and you can be praying and you can be praying and you can be praying all at the same time. And he doesn't get confused. He can handle that. We do it to praise him. What's it say? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Like, Lord, I know you love me and I know you're in control of all things. I thank you so much for that. And because of that, Lord, I do want to ask that, you know, you really help me today. I'm really struggling with desiring you. What about the very first part of that verse? Do not be anxious about anything. That's really hard. How many of you worry about a test that you have coming up? I do. All the time. Yeah. A little bit? You're pretty confident with your test? That's good. Don't be anxious about anything. So, you know, maybe when you get older, you have bills to pay, decisions to make. You have decisions now. This isn't just relevant to adults. It's relevant to you guys too. You have things that you think about, that you worry about. God says, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because he's in control. We can pray to him. To commune with him. That's another reason we pray, to commune. The very next verse, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That doesn't always necessarily feel like calm. You know, when we think about that, like the peace of God, there have been times in my life where I've had to make some pretty serious decisions, really serious decisions. And I didn't feel relaxed about those decisions. But there were times where I definitely felt a peace about them, despite not feeling relaxed about them, where I just was comforted by the truth that God cares and that he's in control of it. So, read your Bible, meditate on what you read, and pray. So that's all under point one. Point two, share with others who it is that you're following. And that, we call it witnessing. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." Jesus tells the disciples to go out, preach the word, teach others how to follow what's in the Bible. And then he also says, "I will be with you to the end of the age." He didn't just leave them high and dry. He didn't say, "Hey, go and leave." What did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us when we're saved. Jesus is making intercession for us for the Father. Do you guys know what that means? Jesus is standing, and we talked about this the other night, Jesus is standing between the Father's wrath and us, saying, "I died for those sins." Every time we sin, God will always forgive us because it's already been paid for if we are a child of God. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Means at any time. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort." So, correct people kindly. Rebuke them in love. And exhort them. Means encourage them. Build them up. What's it also say? "With complete patience and teaching." We shouldn't fly off the handle. We shouldn't be impatient or angry. And I'm that all the time. I really am. I am not a patient person. You should see me driving through the city. It is not pleasant. But that's not right. That is wrong on me. Because really, what does it matter if traffic's going slow? Like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter that somebody did something that I thought was stupid. They didn't use their turn signal. The world is ending. It's not really. But I feel like it sometimes. You know, that's wrong. And God forgives those little sins too, which is fantastic. So witnessing, that seems like such a scary thing, doesn't it? Like, isn't it scary maybe to some of you to like walk up and talk to someone about Jesus? I know I used to be, and still do, I have definitely have times where that just seems hard and awkward and scary to me. I will tell you, it gets easier with practice. I will tell you, the more you do it, the more natural it becomes. So, you know, that's definitely something to look forward to in that. 1 Peter 3:13 through 15 says, "Now who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good?" Remember that word zealous? We talked about Peter being zealous. You know, go get them. Super excited and ambitious. And "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." What's the Bible say there? Say, don't be afraid. Elsewhere, the Bible says, what can man do to you? Really? In the grand scheme of things, what can man do to you? Remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that quote I did at the beginning? He died for his beliefs. He was part of the plots to assassinate Hitler. He was a German theologian and teacher. Still Googling, he's really. The Bible says you don't need to fear that. What harm can they really do? If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're going to spend eternity with God. That in no pain, no suffering. Living with God, communing with Him face to face for all eternity. And there's a lot of ways you can witness to people. You don't have to just like walk up on them to the street and say, "Do you know where you're going when you die?" Like, that's a little abrasive. Like, I think anybody's uncomfortable with that conversation. Now, hey, I'm not saying it hasn't worked. I'm sure people have done that and God has used it. But me, I watch sports, okay? I like sports mostly for the conversation fact. I actually would love to give up sports, believe it or not. People would be shocked to hear me say that. The emotional stress of sports just drives me nuts. Okay, I know where I'm at. How many of you are Pittsburgh Steelers fans? Oh, boy. Okay, I shouldn't have asked that question. Okay, a whole bunch of you are about to stop listening to me, but I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I would love to quit watching the Ravens. Okay, we did so bad last year. But do you know that I can walk into almost any place at all, and I can start talking about football, and it's not awkward? I can talk to a stranger on the bus. I live in Minneapolis. I live a few blocks away from the Vikings stadium. Big, huge stadium now that they just built. It doesn't matter who it is. I can walk onto that bus, and I can also tell if the Vikings won or lost, but I can walk into a bus and I just start talking about football. Do you know what? That conversation leads to God so fast. Why? Because as you get to talk to the person, they ask, "Well, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I used to work at a Christian camp. You know, I lead a small group through my church." And already you've got a conversation going. Maybe it doesn't go too far. Maybe it does. That's great. There's a lot of little things like that. That you don't, it doesn't have to be awkward. Okay, there's just so many. And you don't have to learn sports. There's a lot of things that you can do that with. Just general conversations that can lead straight to Christ. Any conversation. Because God should be such a part of our life that it's not different. It's not like, well, I worship God on Sunday and I play basketball on Monday. You know, it's like my attitude when I play basketball is part of my witnessing. Like if I'm always angry and I'm kicking stuff and throwing things, that doesn't tell people I believe in God. It doesn't tell people that I think there's so much more to this world than these small, petty little leather pieces of string and whatever that go through hoops or nets or goals. Or I live hockey. They love hockey there. I know, Penguins. Yes, sorry. Congratulations, Penguins fans. Yes. Don't be afraid, guys, to share your faith. Learn. This is why, but it's scary because you feel like, well, maybe what if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't answer right? Don't worry about that, guys. Read the Bible. You'll know. And then witness. And maybe you don't say the right thing perfectly. That's okay. God's in control. It's just a privilege to be used by Him. He doesn't need us. He chooses to use us because it's a gift. It's such a blessing to be able to share Christ with people. And the third thing I want to cover real quick is follow together. Okay? Follow together. And that's community. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Guys, we're not made or meant to do this alone. Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity." When we as Christians come together and do this together, when we are Christians, we encourage each other. Just you and your Bible is not good enough. Why? Because the Bible says we need to be doing this together. You're not obeying your Bible if you go off in the woods, live all by yourself with nobody around because you don't want to be around people and your Bible. Because you're disobeying the Bible. Christ all the time is talking about body life. And what does he mean by that? God has given us each different gifts and talents. Some of us are better at some things than others, and that's okay. Apprentices in Somerset, you probably heard this a lot, but the hand is not the nose. The hand can't smell things. It'd be really weird. What's it smell like? I don't know. What's this food smell like? It'd be weird. Your nose isn't meant to grab stuff. Have you ever tried to grab a door with your nose? I have. It's crooked, see? So, real quick, John 21, I'm just going to read this. Jesus is talking to Peter here, and he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Now, guys, I told you, I work at Target, so I know a little bit about marketing. I know a little bit about selling stuff. You don't try to get someone on board with an idea by telling them the worst news possible about the idea. And it kind of seems like what Jesus did here. He says, "Peter, here's how you're going to die." And then what's he say? "And after this, he said to him, follow me." Seems a little weird. But Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Jesus is telling Peter, "Peter, listen. This is how you're going to die. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be strengthening you. You're going to be serving me. I've died for you. I've risen again." This is after Jesus was crucified. He's risen again. "Peter, follow me. It's going to be worth it. There is nothing greater." Guys, it will not be easy. So Jesus is saying, it's not going to be easy. Even if you never face physical harm here in America, but just staying disciplined in the small things, that's hard. That's challenging. We're sinful. Even just small things like that. And this is why we need a Savior. One sin is enough to keep us from the presence of God. But God knows us, and despite our weakness, God knows how flawed we are. But he calls us to follow him because he's the one who works. He is the one who makes us able to serve him. God's the one that gives us the ability to do so. You didn't give you the gifts that you have. You didn't give you the skills that you have. God did. He doesn't need us. But guys, he loves us. And it's a privilege. It's a blessing to be used by God. The fact that he would take time to care about his children and say, "You know what? I want you to be part of my plan to redeem men to me, to redeem humans, to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of a Savior." So after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for sending your Son to die on the cross, that whosoever believes on you will be saved and will have eternal life. God, I ask that you help us to follow you, to help us do the simple things, to read our Bibles, to meditate on your word, to pray. Give us, Lord, the courage and the words to share our faith with others. And Lord, help us to do it together, encouraging each other, helping each other. God, thank you so much for who you are and what you've done in adopting us as your children. I pray all this in your Son's holy name. Amen.